Welcome to episode 102 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for Thursday, August 14th, 2008. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. On this special episode of the Fredcast, we will be talking once again about the Larry H. Miller 2008 Tour of Utah, as we get together once again with Noreen Godfrey from Team Land Rover Orbea to talk a little bit about what it's like to be a young development team in a major race. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes another special episode of the Fredcast. This week's episode of the Fredcast is brought to you by listeners just like you. You know, there's listeners just like you who are sending in PayPal donations and just plain clicking on the advertising links at www.thefredcast.com, going to stores you would go to anyway, getting the same prices you would normally get, but supporting the Fredcast. Thanks so much for your donations and your support. It's greatly appreciated. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Fredcast, and shows are now coming fast and furious as we're covering sort of a different angle on a professional stage race, the Larry H. Miller 2008 Tour of Utah. And I got some emails from a lot of you following last night's show saying really how much that you appreciated hearing really another perspective on professional stage racing. You know, we're talking to somebody who manages a development team, some young kids, as Noreen describes them, who are really trying to find their way as professional cyclists and who are sacrificing quite a bit to participate in a team like Land Rover Orbea. And we're not talking about teams with million-dollar budgets. We're not talking about teams with huge staffs. We're talking about a team with one team manager and a lot of kids with great legs and a lot of heart. Well, today is stage two of the 2008 Tour of Utah. It's a tough ride from Ogden all the way to Salt Lake City. We're not talking about down I-15 on the flats. No, up through the Wasatch Mountains. This is really the front range of the Rocky Mountains, the western edge of the Rocky Mountains. This is the Wasatch Range. And starting from Ogden, at mile 11, there is a King of the Mountains climb, then around through Huntsville, around the Pine View Reservoir, and then up around mile 27, another King of the Mountains climb, then down into Morgan, Utah, and then up and over past East Canyon Reservoir, and at mile 68, the highest point on today's stage, up about 7,500 feet for yet the third King of the Mountains climb, and then it's down most of the way into Salt Lake City. 85 miles, 137 kilometers, 10,585 feet of climbing. That's 3,226 meters of climbing. So let's talk to Noreen today. I just got off the phone with her. Let's hear her perspective on how the race went. And by the way, again, she's on her cell phone today, and she was not in the best area. I'll fill in some of the blanks for you on the other side of the conversation with Noreen. Well, hey, Noreen, how's it going today? How was stage two?
Oh, so much can change in 24 hours.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I was looking at the results, so Take me through the day. How did things sort of transpire today?
Okay, so today, like I was telling you last night, we were expecting to lose the young riders, and we were hoping it would transfer over today. And sure enough, it went straight from the gun. Little Fishcorn took off as soon as they said go, and it was game on the whole way, and the field shattered and broke up. And I had Dave sitting pretty up front in the main selection of 40 riders that were left after the field was destroyed today. And so we were following him, making sure that he had enough water and electrolytes and recovery drink, or I should say electrolyte drinks, to get through a hot day. And then one of my endurance riders, bridge back up to Davis. So we had two guys in the elite selection, and we're like, all right, we can do this. And then tragedy struck.
What happened?
Coming through a feed zone, feed zones can be very hairy if people are too far or too close to the riders. If you remember Lance catching his handlebars?
Yeah.
I think it was in the 2002 tour.
Yeah.
Well, we were sitting pretty in GC, and then a health net rider stuffed up a feed. His feeder didn't let go of his feed bag and took him down and took our rider down with him.
Now, was this at the feed zone, the first feed zone, the one at about 28 miles?
No, this was the second feed zone when the field was shattered and we had the select 40 left who are racing for the GC, and they were full tilt flying.
Wow. So 56 miles into an 85-mile race, things are looking great, and all of a sudden you have a rider go down in what is just, you know, just a fluke accident.
It was. It was horrible. And usually the riders can get up, you push them, you get them going. This one was bad enough that we had to get a bike change, and we had to see if he was okay, and the field was already gone by that time. And so we tried to get him going and tried to get him back in. And it just couldn't. He was injured pretty good.
What
but
happened?
He finished the race.
What were his injuries?
His elbow is swollen. We're going to have to check here when we get home. And then just road rash everywhere, all over his body. And he finished the race, which was really good. He troopered on, so he would stay in the event. But we're out of the young rider competition now.
Oh.
You can't catch up when you got Garmin Chipotle, Peter Sastre about 15 minutes up on you. Game over.
Wow.
But change of strategy now. We're no longer young rider competition, but we're going for stage wins.
Oh, excellent.
So look for Ryan tomorrow at the Criterium. We're going to be setting him up to win that Criterium. That's his specialty.
So let's just really quickly just talk about, again, today's race. Today was pretty tough. I mean, 85 miles and over 10,000 feet of climbing, and it was a pretty warm day today, wasn't it?
It was hot. It was brutal to see pro riders like Freddie Rodriguez and all these Toyota United Health Net riders just falling off the back. Because it was so hot out, not getting enough electrolytes, and that the pace that Garmin was setting, it was brutal climbing these climbs. So it was a hard one today.
So what's your strategy? I mean, when you have a race like this, and when you've got a team like yours, which is small and supported by you, the team mom and chief cook and bottle washer, bike washer, What's your strategy, and is it just to keep everybody as hydrated and replace as many electrolytes as possible? What do you tell the guys before they go out on a hot, big climbing day like today?
Well, what we try to do before the race is get them to get one bottle of Perpetuum down. We use Hammer products,
mm-hmm.
And the Perpetuum is calories. We try to get them calories when we know that they're going to have a hot day, they're going to be using a lot of fuel. And then our next step is electrolyte cap, which is basically electrolytes. And you need to take about 6 an hour with hot, dry conditions like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get those guys popping those to make sure that they know that they have to take this because it's more for the next day. You don't want to dehydrate because if you dehydrate in one stage, you're history for the next day.
Mm.
And so we have them, and then we try to get them to drink one bottle about every 40 minutes of some kind of electrolyte drink, and then lots of water over their head to keep their core temperature cool.
Right.
So we constantly remind them that on the radio. Make sure you eat and drink, eat and drink.
So it's all about it's all about the calories, the hydration, and replacing the electrolytes and making sure that you're not only fueled for the race that you're in, but for the race that you're going to be racing tomorrow and the next day.
Exactly. You have to constantly thinking ahead. You got to think, okay, am I recovering okay? Can I go on the next day? Because if you screw up, Lance was a perfect example in the time trial, I can't remember which, that he lost a lot of fluid. And one time trial, and the next day, he was pretty rough. I can't remember which one that was.
Yeah, well, there were so many.
Yeah.
So now let's then switch gears and talk about tomorrow, which is stage three. And tomorrow's a Criterium in downtown Salt Lake City. And, you know, a lot of the listeners, you know, look, they're not racers. And so they're familiar with stage racing, Tour de France style racing with time trials and with long road stages. Take me through a Criterium. How does it work? And what's the strategy from your standpoint? Obviously, you want to win the stage. What's the strategy and what's a Criterium like for a racer?
Criterium is going to be NASCAR on wheels, NASCAR on bikes. It's fast, and you can stand in one corner, and you can see these guys pass you numerous times in 60 minutes. That's what they're riding. And they're going to be hitting speeds of probably about 30, 35 miles an hour blazing through the town. It's really fun to watch. Our strategy going into tomorrow's race is Brian is our sprinter. He's a very fast sprinter. And so what we're going to try and do is make sure a brake doesn't go away. But if a brake does go away, make sure he's in it. If he's not, if the brake does not go away, we need to set him up and get him up front to get him on one of the trains, Garvin Chipotle or the BNC guys, because they have strong, strong teams, and we are down to four riders. And so our guys will make sure that he is up and on the Garmin train and able to sprint.
And so like NASCAR, a very exciting spectator event. So anybody who's in Utah, in the area, it's a great time at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Friday night, great spectator event. But also like NASCAR, if I remember Criteriums, they can be a little twitchy, a little dangerous too, right?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of bumping, just like NASCAR. The riders will be bumping each other, and there'll probably be a few crashes. I hope not. But they're always jockeying for position. You want to be up front so you're away from the crashes.
Yeah, right.
It's really fast and fun to watch.
Well, excellent. So we will, and I'll be down there tomorrow. So we're going to, instead of doing this by telephone, we're going to do this live tomorrow and get some good information. Noreen, good luck to you. Good luck to the team. And we will see you tomorrow night for stage three of the Tour of Utah. Tell the guys, we wish them a lot of luck and make sure they get their sleep and their hydration this evening.
Awesome. We'll see you tomorrow, Dave.
All right. Sounds good. So just to fill in a couple of blanks, thanks to wonderful cellular reception that sometimes occurs here in the mountains of Utah. When Noreen was talking about Dave, that's Dave Vuketz. He's from the United States of America. And when she was talking about her sprinter, Ryan, that's Ryan Anderson, also an American. So we will be looking to see how they do in tomorrow's Criterium. I'll be down there and hopefully get some reactions from Noreen right after the race and also perhaps from some of the racers. So currently leading that best young rider competition that Noreen keeps talking about, it's Peter Stetna from Garmin Chipotle, and he is followed by Scott Stewart from American Rad, presented by Agel. And in third place, it's Kiel Renian from Team Ride Clean. You may remember that we talked to folks from Ride Clean at last year's Interbike. So congratulations to them for having riders up in the Young Rider Competition. Now, currently in the yellow leader's jersey of what is called America's Toughest Stage Race, the 2008 Larry H. Miller Tour of Utah, it's Blake Caldwell from Garmin Chipotle. He is followed by Darren Lill from Team BMC. And in third place, it's Jason Donald, also from Garmin Chipotle. 4 seconds between Lill and Caldwell, and 18 seconds between Caldwell and Donald. In the red jersey is the best Utah rider. It's Eric Pardiak from Canyon Bicycles Utah All-Stars. In the King of the Mountains polka dot jersey, Glenn Chadwick from Team Type 1. And again, the best young rider, Peter Stetna from Garmin Chipotle. Now, you may have noticed, I do not have a green jersey classification for you, because even at 10 o'clock at night after today's stage two, those final results are not yet posted. Apparently, there was a bit of controversy about the results that were officially released earlier, and they withdrew those. So I'll have that for you again tomorrow. So once again, we will be back again tomorrow with more coverage from the Tour of Utah, this time live from Stage 3, the Criterium in downtown Salt Lake City. We'll be talking to Noreen live, perhaps some of the members of Team Land Rover or Bea, continuing our different coverage of the Tour of Utah, bringing you a slightly different perspective than you may be used to. Now, of course, while I'm down there, if I can get some interviews with some of the top pro riders, perhaps a Tyler Hamilton or someone like that, the questions I'm going to be asking are going to be about their reactions to some of the younger teams and some of the younger riders who are participating alongside some of the more seasoned pros. And if you've got questions for whether they're for our younger riders or for some of the more experienced riders, go ahead and send them out to us, the email address, thefredcast@gmail.com. Or, of course, as always, you can call the Fredcast listener hotline. That's 435-258-6373, 435-258-6FRED. That's going to do it for tonight's coverage of the Tour of Utah. We'll be back again tomorrow with another episode, bringing you more results from what is billed as America's toughest stage race from the Criterium in downtown Salt Lake City tomorrow night. Between now and then, enjoy Jimmy Bratcher's Happy, but most of all, enjoy the ride.